You need something to start.
It's intriguing.
It's disgusting.
It's disgusting.
Might be the worst thing I've seen in all week.
Nine-year-old African kid slaved over that pen.
I don't see anything to do with that.
The Yishlach contains within it some of the most formative and cathartic experiences on the part of our Avos, in many ways founded the direction that our nation took, including our name, Am Yisrael. But from beginning to end, the stories in part of the Yishlach are mysterious and enigmatic. It's hard to know what to make of them. It's hard to know those mysterious issues that wrestled with Yaakov. It's hard to know what Yaakov is trying to accomplish when he sends the gifts to Esau. It's hard to know whether Shimon and Levi are right or wrong with the way they deal with Shechem. There's over and over and over again, there are things that are just not clear what the significance is. I want to mention a lot of them today. At the very least, I feel like I've accomplished something if we ask some good questions. I feel even better if we can get to some good answers. I feel even better if we get to one big picture that encompasses them all. I'm not sure if I will, but we'll try. Okay? Let's do it. Number one. What's Yaakov's name?
Yisrael.
Later.
Yaakov.
That's Jacob. What he
knew. All right, there are a lot of questions about Yaakov's name. Number one, right, if you go into the Misrad HaPnim, and you pay your 50 shekels for a name change. She knew he had Shem, like for example, my wife got married to Aliyah, so her passport said Meredith Sinner, right? So now she's made Aliyah, right? So she can, you know, have her Hebrew name and have my last name. So she paid 50 shekels and she got a name change from Israel. Now her name is Miriam Friedman, right?
Nice.
We don't have to pay back any of her debts now. Just kidding. But what if she then, the next day, wants to use her old name in an official document?
Nice.
You can't, right? You have one name, right? People have one name. You can't put back and forth. So why? Why is it that throughout Tanakh, Yaakov is sometimes referred to as Yaakov, you know? Sometimes referred to as Israel, right? If God did change his name, then why does he go back and forth? I want to spell this out for you. We had a lot of discussion. Believe it or not, a person committed Isser Deraisa by talking about Parsha. Gotta watch out. I'm being serious. Here, pass this down, please. No, this is not mine. This is not mine either. This is mine. Okay.
This is mine.
This is mine.
This is not mine.
This is mine. Here, pass this down, please. Okay. There we go. Okay. The Gemara, on the bottom of the first page, Gemara Brachos, says the following thing. The Mishnah in Brachos discusses when you have to mention Yitzis Mitzrayim, right, during Kriyas Shema. The Mishnah says, Maskir Yitzis Mitzrayim Balelot. You have to mention Yitzis Mitzrayim at night. I'm Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Hare Ani Kiben Shavim Shana, Velo Zachiti Shetomar Yisiyat Mitzrayim Balelot, Ad Shedarsha Ben Yoma. Where do we know this from? You all, the Seder night, right? We put this Mishnah in the Seder. Shemar, Lamad Yizkorat Yom Tzeicha Me'eret Mitzrayim, Kol Yimei Chayecha, Yimei Chayecha Hayamim, Kol Yimei Chayecha. Comes to teach us? Halilot. Right, not just the daytime, but also the nighttime. The Chacham over now, the Chacham argue. They say, Yimei Chayecha Ha'olam Hazeh, Kol Yimei Chayecha Lahavi Limot Mashiach. The question is, are we going to still care about Yitzis Mitzrayim when Mashiach comes? Why would you say no?
Do we care about the first Luchos anymore?
Okay, well put. In other words, that was history, right? Yeah, a long time ago we were slaves in Egypt and God took us out. But now we just have the ultimate redemption. Right? It's like, you know, a person who played in the minors for 3 years and, you know, had a nice career for 15 years in the majors. Right? So no one talks about his minor league career. Right? That's pales in comparison. Right? So the Muslim Mashiach is going to be the big redemption. Right? The real show. Right? So then no one's going to care about what happened in the meantime. The verse is as follows. Tanya, Amar Lehem and Zelma Lechachalim. Bechim Laskiri Yitzis Mitzrayim, the most Mashiach. The Noah says to the Chacham, is it reasonable to think that we're going to remember Yitzis Mitzrayim when Mashiach comes? So Amru Lo, so drop down three lines into the Gemara towards the end. Amru Lo, Lo Shetea Ker Yitzis Mitzrayim in Koma, Ela Shetehe Shibu Machios Iker Yitzis Mitzrayim Tafelo. So the Chazal say that although Yemos Mashiach will be the primary focus, which will meet Rabbeinu Hashem, our main celebration of Hashem's involvement in our lives will be Yemos Mashiach. However, we'll still remember Yitzis Mitzrayim. That the Yemos Mashiach will be Ikar, Yitzis Mitzrayim will be Tafel. We'll still remember it. It just won't be the central thing. Kiyotzebo. Now the Gemara gives a very, very interesting example. We see this phenomenon occur in the following way. You guys have it? We're now towards the end of the first paragraph in the Gemara. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay? Kiyotzebo atalmer lo yikare shimcha od Yaakov ki im Yisrael yeshemech. What in the world is the relationship between the name change of Yaakov and the discussion we just had?
Saying Yaakov's name was changed, but we still refer to him as Yaakov.
Okay. But so the same way that Yitzis Mitzrayim was surpassed and overshadowed by Yemos Mashiach, right? When Mashiach comes, it'll be hard to even remember what was so special at Yitzis Mitzrayim. Nevertheless, Yitzis Mitzrayim still shows its face. So too, even though Yaakov's name was changed to Yisrael, Hashem said, your name will no longer be Yaakov. And nevertheless, sure enough, his name is still Yaakov. So let's read the next paragraph. Lo she'aker Yaakov mikomo. Doesn't mean that Yaakov's name will be uprooted and no longer will be associated with it. Ela Yisrael ikar, Yaakov tafelo. That the name of Yisrael will be his main name, and Yaakov will be a subsidiary name, still associated with him, still part of his identity, but not the main part of his identity. Okay. So according to this, is the name change a reflection of a complete transformation of who Yaakov is, or something else? Something else. That was a leading question. What's happening? Not that Yaakov has been transformed, but rather...
The nation's been transformed.
Well, there isn't a nation yet, right? Rather, instead of Yaakov being transformed, he no longer is the person he used to be. That's not the case. He's still Yaakov. But he's Yaakov... Plus. The new dimension of his personality. There's a new dimension to his personality which he didn't have before. Up until now, he was just Yaakov. Now, he's Yaakov plus the new dimension of Israel. And as a matter of fact, his new dimension is the primary one. Guys, I got to move into the end of the morning. Come on in. Come on in. That's his little. Open,
so there's a problem there. Okay. Okay. Wow. No, stop. Aaron, stop it. That's the screen. Yeah, but there's no screen on that side.
So I want to discuss at some point for this year, I want to get to the bottom of what in the world is up, which is the name change, right? What does it mean that his name is changed if half the time Tanakh refers to him as Yaakov and not Yisrael? Number two, what's the significance of the name change? What does Yaakov mean? What does Yisrael mean? So we have to think about it. What's the Isser D'oraisa you can do by learning Chumash? So the Gemara goes on and it says that while Yaakov retained his first name, it's not the case with Avraham Avinu. So if you go down to the bottom of the page, so the second line of that last paragraph there, towards the end of the line, Tani Bar Kapara, Kola Korei LaAvraham Avram, Over B'mitzvat Aseh. Eliezer Omer, Eliezer says, not only have you been over on Mrs. Asay, over Balab, you're over on an Isser D'oraisa. Shneamar, the lo yikare od Shimcha Avram. And a person who refers to Avraham Avinu by mistake is Avram, has done an Isser D'oraisa. It's not listed in the 613 Mitzvot, but it's taken very seriously. When Avram turned to Abraham, he was no longer Avram. A new identity.
Even if you're learning left with Avram?
No. So when you learn left, you're still dealing with Avram. That's Avram. When you speak to Abraham, if you mistakenly refer to him as Avram, right? So then you've totally mixed up the personality. Different people. Avram becomes Abraham. Different person. Right? When it comes to Yaakov, right? Yaakov doesn't become a different person. Yaakov becomes the same person with an additional layer of his identity. Is it wrong? Is it mistaken to refer to Yisrael as Yaakov? No. No. That's still part of his identity. So that's the structure that we'll be talking about. Let's try to get to the bottom of what's happening. Now, I want to point out one other thing. How many of you learned the entire parasha?
Almost. I learned the whole part.
You read it. 25 minutes every morning.
I haven't finished all of it.
It's true. 45 minutes every morning to both spend an extra 15 minutes in the computer room and finish breakfast and learn all of parsha. That's really asking a lot. Guys, this is your year. If you don't learn parsha now, if you don't go through the parsha entirely from beginning to end, this year, when in the world are you going to do it? You're going to sit there at the Shabbos table and your 6-year-old kid will know more Torah than you do. Be embarrassing. I'm being serious. This is your chance. Alright, enough muster. Okay. I was getting a little uncomfortable. Okay. So, if you had learned the parsha, you would realize that there's a very, very serious problem with this storyline. Okay? How many times did Yaakov have his name changed? Okay. Everyone here knew that the answer was not going to be once, because it wouldn't have a question. Okay? First time, who changes his name? The Ish, this mysterious man who wrestles with him, the angel, right?
He says, "Will be changed."
Ah, let's read the psukim very carefully. Okay, so Perek Lamed Bet. Pasuk Chav Zayin. Right? So, Yaakov is jumped by this Ish, this mysterious man, and wrestled until dawn. Pasuk Chav Zayin. Vayomer Shalcheni ki Allah Shachar. The angel now begins to plead for mercy. Let me go because the sun is rising. Vayomer lo ashalechacha ki im beirachtani. I will not let you go until you bless me. Vayomer la ma shemecha. The angel says to him, "What's your name?" Whenever a malach asks a person in Tanakh a question, that question speaks to the core of who that person is. Not just malach, but Hashem also. When Hashem speaks to Adam and Chava, does he ask them?
Where are you?
Ayeka, where are you? Right? That's the key to understanding the story of Adam and Chava. Right? When the angel speaks to Hagar, right, where are you coming from, where are you going? Right? That's the key to understanding the story of Hagar. Right? Well, I'm not going to get into it right now. Keep that in mind. Right? The angel says, Yaakov Ma Shemecha. What's your name? Right? It's kind of strange. Malach should know his name, right? If you're Jason Bourne and you're out there to assassinate someone, the information you get from your handlers, like you get the name of the person you're shooting, right? So it's surprising that the Malach doesn't know what the name is of Yaakov, unless he wants Yaakov to begin rethinking something about his identity. Ma Shemecha, Vayomer Yaakov. Vayomer, wrong. Lo Yaakov, Yamer Od. Your name will no longer be called Yaakov. Ki Im Yisrael. Ki Sarita Im Elohim.
It says it will no longer be called Yaakov.
Yeah.
Then why do we still refer to him?
That's exactly what we're talking about. Yeah. Now, what's fascinating in this section? Read the next pasuk. Tell us what's fascinating in the next pasuk.
Says Yaakov?
Yeah. But Yishal Yaakov! Malach just changed his name, but the narrator, with Hashem's voice in the Torah, continues to describe him as Yaakov. That's weird. So one possibility, I hear what you're saying, one possibility would be that the angel is predicting. Right? He's not saying that your name is now Yisrael, right? He's saying that at some point in the future your name will become Yisrael.
Later on it says, in reference to when he got the blessing from Hashem, it said that it made reference to what he received, the blessing that was essentially promised before.
Let's read that carefully when we get to it, and when you to tell me what you think then, okay? You're on the right track. Okay, so one possibility is that this is predicting the future. However, what the Malach says doesn't really fit that. Malach says, "Lo Yaakov Yamerod," that your name will no longer be Yaakov, as if this is the last time I'm calling you Yaakov. So why does Torah then refer to him as Yaakov? Right, it's still possible to take your approach. I just think it's a little bit weak because of that phrase. Does he ever adopt the name Yisrael? Sometimes.
Right, so
first of all, we see a little narrator's notes in the Chumash right here that uses the name Yisrael. If you look at Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Alkein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael et Kiddush Hashem. Right? So it's talking about Yaakov, but then the fact that Yaakov's Achilles heel was wounded. So now suddenly the Torah mentions it as Yisrael, not as Yaakov. Okay, we'll have to think about why that would be in a second. Yes?
Well, maybe it was his mindset, because Yaakov answered, "I'm Jacob."
Yeah.
So maybe it has nothing to do with his name and his mindset.
The way he views himself.
Yeah.
Right? Where sometimes he views himself as Yisrael, sometimes he views himself as Yaakov. That's a very, very likely explanation. Let's keep that in our minds as we... continue. Well, you know, one last thing. Let's look at the very last pasuk in Perek Lamed Gimel. Okay, what's interesting here?
Sorry, Perek.
Right, after the whole confrontation, the whole discussion.
Use Israel and Yaakov in the same pasuk.
Right.
So which pasuk?
Not the same pasuk, but within the same context, right? Pasuk Yurchet, Yavo Yaakov Shalem Yerushchem, right? Then Pasuk Chaf, Vayatzev Sham Yisbeach Likra Lo El Elohei Yisrael. Right? So Yaakov himself called it El Elohei Yisrael. Right? Yaakov himself is aware that he has his identity of Yisrael, but the Torah itself is still calling him Yaakov. Okay? Strange. Now let's shoot ahead. There's more questions here. After the story of Shem, Vayomer Elohim Yaakov, God says to Yaakov, "Kum, get up. Ale Beit El v'shev sham. Go to Beit El, dwell there. Vasei sham mizbeach la'el anire eilecha v'zrachacha v'knei esavachicha. And build a mizbeach there to the God that appeared to you when you fled your brother Esav." We're now Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Aleph. Right? So they run to Beit El, and there, Pasuk Zayin, "Vayiven sham mizbeach v'yikra l'makom el Beit El, ki sham nigru elav Elohim b'varcho b'pnei achiv." Right? He built a mizbeach there, because there God was revealed to him when he ran away from his brother. Why does God want him to go back to revisit the place that he ran away from his brother? Why is that relevant? Why does it matter? It's a good question. The more important is that this is when God himself changes Yaakov's name. I'll have to figure out why now God changes his name. So if you read Pasuk Tet, "Vayera Elohim Yaakov Ob Rov Yipadan Arav Ad Barakoto," Hashem appears to Yaakov and he blesses him. "Vayomer Lo Elohim Shimcha Yaakov Lo Yikare Shimcha O Yaakov Ki Im Yisrael." God says something very strange. Shimcha Yaakov, your name is Yaakov. Your name is no longer Yaakov. name is Yaakov. Your name is no longer Yaakov. Kiim Yisrael. Yisrael Yeshemecha, Yikrat Shemo, Yisrael. Vayomer lo Elohim, ani El Shaddai, pray revei, goy kahalka, goyim yem imecha, lachim mechazecha, yitzir. God says, he gives him a bracha, right? Great nations are going to come from your loins. V'da'aret asher natati l'Abraham Yitzchak l'cha et mena v'zaracha acharecha etein et ha'aret. So why did Yaakov's name change for us? Why did the Malach appear to him and say, your name is no longer Yaakov, it's really Yisrael? And why does God have to come back and do it again? Why did God ship Yaakov off to Beit El? Why is it enough that he stayed near Shechem? What's going on? Yeah.
I think it fits that the Malach would have said, okay, your blessing is the blessing you originally got from, you see, the Zina Parsha that Yitzhak was trying to, Yaakov would tell Yitzhak that, listen, don't be mad at me because the bracha never fulfilled. So now the Malach's telling you, the Malach's bracha is that the bracha that he originally got from Yitzhak will be fulfilled. And that's when Hashem brought him back to where he ran away from his brother, because when he ran away from Esau, it was because of the fear that Esau would kill him because the bracha he stole from him.
So and that's why God Hashem brought him back. The bracha that he got.
That's what Malach said that you're going to get.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I think you could develop that idea. So it's a nice approach. Very nice approach. And why does his name change right there?
Because that's when he received the bracha from Esau. That's when the bracha was going to be.
This is the first day of the rest of his life.
There's a commentary on that his name, the reason his name was changed because he had some sort of essentially guilt from taking the bracha.
Uh-huh.
And because once he had his name changed, he was no longer this Yaakov who had the guilt from, uh-huh, from taking the bracha. Uh-huh. So now that he was Yisrael, he could take the bracha.
Uh-huh. And it was Yaakov, interesting. Yaakov reminds us of what incident in his early life? Earlier than that,
the birth.
When he's born, he's already grabbing out his brother's heel, right? And when the Esav, when he realized that he stole his bracha, he says, "Avveni pa'amayim." Whether this guy Yaakov has already tripped me up twice, right? So Yaakov, you're right. Refers back to the struggle with Esav. So what you're claiming is that Yisrael is a fresh start, right? His identity does not have to be tied up in the past trauma. He's able to move on now. I think it's a very, very nice approach. And what you're saying is that he has to revisit the place of his trauma to get past it.
Well, he has to
psychologically,
that's where the bracha was given. That's where he should have the bracha.
That's not where the bracha was given. That's where he left Eretz Yisrael. Right? But, I think more or less your approach is a good one. In other words, you know, when a person wants to get past a traumatic incident, so very often psychologists will have them re-experience the traumas, right? Let's say a person when he was a little boy was attacked by a big dog, right? And for like the next 15 years, he's terrified of dogs, right? So one psychological approach would be it's called exposure therapy, right? To expose the person gradually, start off like a little poodle, like a toy poodle, right? Or maybe even like a toy dog and a toy poodle, then a slightly larger dog, and gradually you'll stand across a chain link fence from like a pit bull like trying to eat you, right? And you'll gradually build the ability to deal with those situations. Maybe revisiting that place of trauma, the place where he was terrified, running for his life, this time though he's able to master his fear and feel like he's settled there. It's a nice approach. Shakar. Yeah, but say for Chidushim, you have a notebook to write all your ideas?
Yes.
Okay, good. Let's write it down. Okay. I want to share with you a different approach, an approach that comes from one of the Tanakh teachers in Gush, named Jonathan Grosser. It's the following thing. I'm going to alter what he says slightly, but this is the basic idea. The key to this is to look at the following midrash. Like, look at the midrash on the top of the page.
Which one?
Top of the shekhinah that I gave you. Midrash on the
book.
Rav Shmuel bar Nachman said the following. Kol noder ve'eno mishalem Goreim li'ishto shetamut. Anyone who takes upon himself an oath, a neder, and doesn't fulfill it, causes his wife to die. It's pretty intense. So we drop down, and we'll see.
Does he have to be married when he takes a neder, or can it be his future wife?
That's a good question. I don't know. Drop down three lines. Actually, clearly it's his future wife. We'll see. V'amar Rabbi Yadai hanoder ve'eno. See where the bracket is? Third line, end of the line. V'amar Rabbi Yadai hanoder ve'eno meshalem pinkaso mitbakeret b'nei kadosh baruch hu. Va'omer, heichan ploni ve'ploni, sh'nider neder v'yom ploni. Person who takes an oath and doesn't fulfill it, so his notebook, his file, where God has a file system in Shemayim, so to speak, his file is constantly examined by God, and God's constantly asking, where's Ploni ben Ploni? Why isn't he fulfilling his promise to me? Bore, come and see. Next line. Fifth line there. Kishalach Yaakov la'aram naharayim, maktiv sham, v'yidor Yaakov neder le'mor. Right? As Yaakov was leaving Eretz Yisrael, where? What was he about Eretz Yisrael?
Beit El.
As he left Eretz Yisrael from Beit El, v'yidor Yaakov neder. Yaakov took a neder. What was the neder that Yaakov took? Last week's parsha.
And then you're
going to
come back.
Anyone took your idol?
That's a different episode. It was in the Netter to Hashem. Okay, let's look at it very quickly. All right, someone tell me that you learned last week's parasha, please. Please? Yeah. Good. Okay. So if you look in Perek Chavchet, he has a dream of the Sulam. He has a dream of the ladder. He makes him to the following thing. Well, first, what does God say to him? God says to him, Pasuk Yigimok, Perek Chavchet, Pasuk Yigimok, V'nei Yashem Yitzav Alav Ve'omar, Ani Hashem Elohei Abraham Avicha, Elohei Yitzchak Ha'aretz, Asher Atah Shochev Alei Alecha, Etnena Ozarecha. I'm going to give the land you're sleeping upon to you and your descendants. V'aya Zaracha Ka'afar Ha'aretz. And your descendants will be as numerous as the dust. I'm with you. I'll guard you in everything everywhere you go. I will return you to this land. I will not abandon you. Today's promise. Yaakov wakes up and he says the following thing. Pasuchav, Vayida Yaakov neder lemor. Yaakov takes a neder. Im Yelohim imadi, if God is with me, Ushmarani bader hazeh asher anuchi holeich, and he will guard me upon the path I'm about to take. V'natan li lechem lachol v'gim lavosh, takes care of my needs, food, clothing. V'shavti v'shalom el beit avi, v'yeh Hashem li lelohim. And if I return to the house of my father, God will be for me a God. V'eben azod esher sabti matzeva iye beit Elohim. This stone will become a beit Elohim, a temple to worship God through. V'chol asher titen li aser asrenulah. And everything he gives me, I will give him back. 10%. First of all, where does Yaakov get the conditions for this neder? He says, if X, Y, and Z, then I will do this neder. Correct, right? He's basically repeating back what God told him. God says, I'm with you, I'm going to guard you, I'm going to protect you, I'll take you back here, your exile won't be forever. So Yaakov says, if you're with me, if you protect me, if you provide for me, if you return me here, I'll fulfill this neder. Okay? Sensible? There's one major difference between what God says he's going to do and what Yaakov requests God to do. Okay. God says, very nice, Uri. God says, I'm going to return you El Ha'adama. I will return you to this land. Yaakov says, V'shavti B'shalom El Beit Avi. Yaakov adds a condition. The condition is, I don't want to just come back to Eretz Yisrael. I want to come back to Beit Avi. Okay.
That's why he might
be. So it could be, right, it could be that he knows it's chutzpah, and that's why he says, and in exchange for that, I'm going to do something, you know, extraordinary for you. Right? But Yaakov knows that he's adding on to what God has promised. God has promised it. Why in the world does Yaakov make a deal with it? There's no deal. God has promised it.
What's the extraordinary thing?
With that, I'll build a temple here in your honor, and I'll give you 10% of my profits. Whereas if God just promised you something, you don't have to say, well, if you fulfill your promise, I'll pay you back in this way.
So
it's obvious. God has promised.
So he didn't give Meister before this?
Right.
Right.
What's so great about his father's house?
Okay, so why does Yaakov want to come back to Beit Avi? Why is El Hadama Hazot not enough?
To visit his father.
Huh?
To visit his father.
Okay, but why is this such a big deal? Why are you so nervous about it? Of course, because back to Eretz Yisrael, come back to Beit Avi.
Make sure his father's alive.
Okay, but he wants his dad to still be alive when he comes back. What else? What are the possibilities? Why is he nervous?
His brother will kill him.
His brother will kill him! What do you mean? Fine, I'll come back to Eretz Yisrael, but I'll have to stay in Haifa. I can't ever show my face in Beit Shemesh. If I show my face in Beit Shemesh, my brother will kill me. Right? In other words, he's concerned. Yeah, God might fulfill his promise and he'll take me back to Ha'adama Hazot, this land. But I'll be in exile within this land. I'll have to be on the run. I'll have to be in the witness protection program to stay away from Esau. But I miss my Tati. I want to see my family again. I don't want to just be in Israel. I want to be part of my family again. So he adds a condition that God himself did not do. Is it a sensible condition? Does it make sense that he would want this? Why doesn't God promise it on his own?
It required, for whatever reason, it requires a neder.
Why? So, Yonatan Grossman suggests the following. God has big plans for you. Yaakov is not just Yaakov. He's also the Av, the forefather of the Av HaNibchar. Right? Whereas we're not called Am Abraham or Am Yitzchak, we're called Am Yisrael. Yaakov doesn't know that. Right? Yitzchak didn't know that. Yitzchak was planning on Esav inheriting his wealth. Yaakov doesn't know that. For all he knows, he was just exiled to Padan Aram, and maybe if he's lucky, he'll be able to come back to visit. But it seems like Esau is sticking around with his father. Esau, the same way that Yishmael was sent away, Yitzchak stayed with Abraham. So as far as he knows, so he was sent away, and Esau is staying with Yitzchak. For all he knows, he's the brother who's forced out of the family, and his brother is the one who's gonna stick around. Right? He doesn't know yet. He hasn't internalized this new identity of being an Av of the nation. Right? Hashem wants Yaakov to start thinking in terms of the big picture. Hashem wants him not to be so focused on his family in the narrow sense. Hashem wants him to be focused on his destiny. His destiny is to be the father of the nation that's going to inherit the entire land of Eretz Yisrael. Not just the place where his father lives. So when Hashem promises that he's going to return him back to Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't say, I'm going to return you back to Beit Avicha. I'm going to return you back to Ha'adama Hazot. He wants Yaakov to start thinking about his destiny in terms of, and that's why he says, in the promise to Yaakov, he says, your seed will be like the dust of the earth. You'll have countless, infinite descendants. You're going to be the father of the nation. Ufaratzta yama v'keima, tzafon v'negma. You're going to spread out all over the land. Be excited about returning to the entire land, not just where your father lives. Yaakov's not ready for that, though. Yaakov says, all I want is my tati. All I want is to return to my family. A beit avi. That's my condition. So Yaakov Avinu comes back to Eretz Yisrael. What's the first thing he does?
His father?
No.
He's the Esau.
He gets ready to confront Esau. And he's terrified. He's terrified. He splits the camp. He sends all these gifts. He bows down 7 times. Is this the attitude of someone who's confident that he is the chosen brother? That God is with him? That God is on his side?
Wasn't he worried that just like David was worried that if he did one sin it would have
Shema Yigro Vachet, that's true. That's true. But God made a promise to him.
Only once he got there to Israel. Not quite there yet.
Okay. Could be. That's a Midrashic approach. On a simple level, we see a profound anxiety and insecurity on Yaakov's part. Yaakov does not yet view himself as the father of the nation. Yaakov still views himself as the poor brother with his tail between his legs, who was kicked out, running for his life many, many years ago, and is now coming back. He might be more wealthy, he might be more powerful, but he's still nothing in the face of his brother. Right? And then he manages to come out of the encounter with Esau unscathed. What does he do next?
It was
just he sails near Shechem. Right? And Shechem once again reveals a Yaakov who is not yet in the mindset of a leader. His sons take charge, they do important things that are totally against Yaakov's values. And Yaakov just sort of sits there. He rebukes them afterwards, but he doesn't take control. He doesn't take charge of the situation. His daughter is raped. He doesn't respond. And then God says, "Get up and go to Beit El." Let's read the Midrash. I'll have to end with this because time is very short. Two, three, four, five. 5 hours into the Midrash. Heshivo al kol davar medavar. Hashem paid Yaakov back for every single thing that happened. Halach v'nit asher uba v'yeshev lo v'lo shirem enidro. He became very wealthy. And he comes to Eretz Yisrael and he doesn't pay back his debt. He doesn't pay back the netter he made. Where's the 10%? Where's the miser? Where's the temple in Beit El? Hevi alav Esav. Hashem sicked Esav on. Ubikesh lahago. Natal mimenu kol oto doron izim matayim lo hirgish. And God strips from him the gifts that Yaakov had to send to Esau to buy him off. Right? You're not going to give me miser of your own volition? I'll take the miser. Right?
Who does he ship the gifts from?
What?
He shipped them from Esau?
No, from Yaakov. The lo hirgish. Yaakov still didn't get it through his head. What's missing? He hasn't fulfilled his neder. Hevi alav malach, repay Shimo. V'lo argosh emar vivati Yaakov v'adol yaveki Shimo. Ze Samael. Right? Hashem sticks the angel upon him, and still lo yagish. Kivat shelo yagish bat alav tzarat Dina. He still didn't realize what was going wrong, and God brings upon him the troubles with Dina. Dina, his daughter, is raped. Kivan shalot yirgish bat alav tzarat Rachel. And he still doesn't realize Hashem has Rachel die. Right? And finally, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've dropped in a few lines, the first one line is Amar. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ad matai yehe tzadik hazeh loke ve'en al margish be'ezechei loke. For how long is he going to continue that? I'm going to keep on whipping Yaakov, but he's not going to realize what's missing. Hareini modiyo. It's time for you just to tell him. Shemar v'yomer Elohim ha'Yaakov kum alei beit el v'shem shan. Finally, God says, I have to tell him. He's so thick, he's not getting it. And God says, go to Beit El and fulfill your promise. Build a Mizbeach Give me Meiser, you promised me. Pay up. Why doesn't Yaakov pay up? Do you think he just forgot? Do you think he's selfish now that he has the money, he doesn't want to give Meiser? Why hasn't Yaakov fulfilled his obligation? Correct. Because from his perspective, the promise wasn't yet fulfilled. God said, I'll take you El Adama Zot. Yaakov says, El Beit Avi. Yaakov hasn't made it back to Yitzchak's house yet. God insists, I fulfilled my promise. I took you El Adama Zot, pay up. According to Rabbi Yonatan Grossman, what's happening is that Hashem wants Yaakov to stop thinking like an individual. Stop thinking like the son of your father. Start thinking like the father of a nation. You left Eretz Yisrael from Beit El with your tail between your legs. You've returned now, powerful, the inheritor of all of Ha'adamah Zot. It's time to take that as you're doing that. And it's in that place that Hashem finally gives him his new name, Yisrael. Right? The name that he'll be called by as the father of the nation. That's where the name change finally becomes fixed. Right? And that's when Yaakov finally begins to think of himself, not just as an individual, but as a father of a full nation. There's a lot more to talk about. This is really the tip of the iceberg, but time's up. So.
After PTV?
And I'm so late, maybe we'll
run out of time.